Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to this morning's City Council study session. I almost said City Council meeting. This is just sort of weird. That's okay. For Thursday, November 3rd, 2011. The first item on the agenda is to review the agenda for next Monday's regular council meeting. Page 2, items 3A through 3D. Items 3E through 4C. Items 4D through 4G.
Did you say 4C? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said 4C. 4C is in 4 Charlie. Councilmember Richens.
Can we hear a little bit more about 4A and understand the need for the new camera?
Yeah,
timing. Why now? Is it just an upgrade? Is it a replacement? Did they land on the other one and smash it?
Good morning, Mayor, Council. That is for a replacement of an existing camera that we have. And I'll let Commander Peters give you an explanation of that camera.
This camera system is designed to replace an existing camera system we have on our rotor helicopters now. It's degraded. It's no longer able to record camera pictures for us, for instance, that we have on the ground. This system is a high-definition camera that is interchangeable between all three of our helicopters and allows us to continue to record instances that are occurring on the street. The cost of it is being primarily paid for by the sale of an old helicopter, our 503 aircraft, that recovers most of the expense involved in this.
Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you, Mayor. The question I had is, over cameras, helicopters, planes, all sorts of stuff. Over the last few years, we've purchased a bunch of stuff. We had the little high-altitude plane with camera, and then we bought a helicopter, I don't know, in the last few years anyway. And then last year's budget, we had to cut, like, flying hours. So, like, I just have an overall wonder of what's the long-term plan, you know, for your flying PD. You know, maybe what have we done the last 3 years? What's the 5-10-year plan? What do we see on the horizon of needing to be switched out? Because, you know, it just seems like a lot. Not piecemeal, that $400,000 is piecemeal, but it kind of seems like, you know, we keep spending money. I don't know where we're going with it all. So I'd really like to see like a 5-year plan. What do we have? What's coming up for expiration? What needs to be replaced? We have 4 helicopters. How many hours are they actually flying in a week, those kind of things, just so there's a whole big understanding of what we're doing in the PD with our fleet in the air.
And that's an excellent question, Mayor. Councilmember Higgins, currently, during our budget cuts over the last 2 years, we did reduce flight hours. We have supplemented patrol hours with the airplane. 2 years ago, we were at 42 hours in a week for total flight time. Currently, we're at 56 hours. Which 44 hours are from the rotor helicopter, and 12 of those are from the airplane. We were really behind the curve because we did not have in previous scheduled replacement under the CIP projects, but now we're trying to put that into the regular where we will have to replace these helicopters over time, and that depends on flight hours and you know, wear and tear on the equipment. So we are trying to plan that out. As far as a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, we could definitely put together kind of a schedule as far as the life expectancy of the airplane, the amount of hours that we use on the helicopters, and present that to council. And I don't know if you want to add anything on that.
No, in fact, I think we have most of that data. It wouldn't take us very long to put that up together at all.
And I think it's been a couple years since we've really discussed this. As a matter of fact, I remember when we went through our initial budget cuts. This was an issue we covered with Chief Gascon. So it's been that long. It might be something good to run back up through the public safety committee and just give us an update as to, you know, how we fit in and what you see the long-term futures. I think we've proven the benefit of the police helicopter. I know I don't know if that shooting was staged. I don't think it was. But I happened to be up in a helicopter when there was actually a shooting, and I learned firsthand, you know, how absolutely beneficial what became an airborne command center can become. But I think it's, given that it's been such a long time since we've really had that report, I think it'd be a good time. Since I have the chair here, is that would be okay, Councilman Kavanaugh? Okay. Okay, Councilman.
Perfect, thank you. Thank you.
All righty. Councilman Richards,
cut. Table this just for a little while, because I'd like to understand, because you mentioned that the video was degraded or wasn't working. I don't completely understand why is video that important to have? I mean, it's just a tough budget time, and $275,000 camera is really tough.
And one of the other major components of this camera is the FLIR capability, if you want to.
You know, the new iPhone has a new 8 megapixel.
Yeah, yeah, strapped.
Really,
the
really
bottom.
Good. Have you upgraded recently?
The existing camera doesn't have thermal capability.
Yeah,
it gets Angry Birds.
It does. It's just old.
Councilman Richens, I am the aviation sergeant. My name is Dean Steffen. The camera that we have currently does have infrared on it. It's degraded over the years. It's a 10-year-old piece of equipment. And the monitors that we use aren't HD. They're only 7 inches, and they've degraded as well over the time. So the infrared that we're getting is just not deciphering the difference between that black and white anymore.
Is there any way to repair that instead of replacing the camera altogether?
We spent $26,000 about a year ago to get it repaired. And it is better now than it was before, but we also know that in another year, it's going to have more problems. It's going to have more issues.
Well, you have a combination of outdated technology and technology that's old, which are two different things.
Correct.
From what I'm hearing.
Are you required to purchase these? You can't lease equipment like this to kind of get out of the technology thing cycle. I mean, we had the same problem with photo radar cameras. We purchased cameras. Now we have a technology issue that we're going to bump up against in a couple of years, and we'll either have to wholesale replace them. You know, it's because we didn't lease the equipment. So we get stuck with outdated technology. Is there any way to avoid that trap?
I think we've looked into that in the past, and it just doesn't. We have what we're looking at with this purchase as being the possibility of changing to something that's not going to change any of the equipment that's inside the helicopter.
Right.
Meaning that this camera.
Yeah, the mounts were the same and everything. That's good.
That's huge. It's a huge savings. Every other camera that's out there that's possible is another $100,000 or more. And we're able to do this at really a reduced rate. And that's what we're trying. I'm about as cheap as anybody, and I'm the guy that's out at aviation spending a lot of money. So every penny means everything to me, and I take that personally. So, we could lease it, but it's just not ours, and there is it just doesn't make sense to lease it. It's not advantageous.
Do you think we can get those numbers to kind of understand how that works?
If you would like, we could do a cost comparison with a lease and then include all, you know, if there was any extra cost that would be.
I just kind of understand it's from a cash flow standpoint for the city. It's just, that's a big pill to swallow. So let's just look at that.
Let me ask this.
My colleagues.
Can you get that information to Councilmember Richens or the rest of us and leave it here? Is there a sentiment to, do we need more to pull this? Vice Mayor?
If we can, I'd like to leave the item on the agenda now. That way we can take action on it if we need to. And if we need more time, we can do that. But
pull it Monday.
Yeah. But
is that okay? All right. Okay. We'll just revisit it Monday. Try and get that as quickly as you can.
Okay.
All right. Anything else? Thanks. Items 4D through 4G. Items 4H through 4K. 4L through 6B. 7 through 8D. And 9A and 9B. You have some, Councilman Richens?
I was just
there you go.
Yeah, the insurance stuff. I was just trying to remember who. I went through materials. I couldn't find who our broker was. If we use a local broker, or if we're. I just couldn't recall who
our broker is. Willis, and I can ask Barry, or we have the broker representative here if you'd like to speak to him.
Yeah, where are they, a Mesa firm? Are they, I mean, when was the last time we bid out brokerage services, that kind of stuff? I was just kind of curious.
Good morning, Mayor. Councilmember Richens. Mr. Schultz here is from our broker. He is with Willis, Arizona. They're based in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay.
That's where they're located. And they've been under contract with us. We went out to bid last year, and we typically do a four-year agreement.
Okay.
And so they're in the second year of their agreement.
Perfect. Thank you.
Is that all you need?
Yeah, that's all I need. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Is that it? Next item on the agenda is to hear budget presentation on the update for the fiscal year 2011-2012 budget. Ms. Candace.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. In September, we came to you and we discussed the 11-12 medical contribution savings that we were anticipating for this fiscal year. And if you recall, we had anticipated a savings of about $4.9 million in the 11-12 fiscal year. This was due to not only claims reductions in our medical, but also to management of our trust fund itself by actually bidding out our services and bidding out our contracts and reducing our expenses that way. What we'd like to talk to you today is the reallocation of those savings. And give you an update. So far this year on the 11-12 general fund revenues, we are on track with our budgeted revenues so far this year. So while we're only a few months into the fiscal year at this point, we are on track with our budget. Give you some background and just update everybody on where we are on compensation issues for our employees in the city of Mesa. Back in January 1st of 2009, the city had opted to implement a 2% pay reduction across the board for all city employees. This is what the city chose to do this instead of doing furlough programs. Many of the cities around the valley, when they were looking at their budget reductions, decided to do furlough programs instead of across the board reductions. The city of Mesa did a 2% across the board reduction at that time in place of doing furlough programs for our employees. And during that same time period, over that same fiscal year budget process, we had an effective date of July 2nd of 2009, so that's that same budget process. We also suspended the step pay program, or the merit pay program, for our employees. Today, this program continues to be suspended, as well as we have not done any compensation issues or addressed any compensation issues in the city since January 1st of 2009. At this time, staff is recommending that we take the savings that we are anticipating in our employee benefit trust program due to our medical savings and reallocate those to the compensation portion of our personal services budget. And this would take place in the restoration of a 2%, restoring that 2% pay reduction with an effective January of 2012. What this does is it really just reallocates the budget we've already adopted for 11-12 out of the benefit area of our budget and into the compensation area. This is still in the personal services portion of the 11-12 budget. So there would be no increase to the anticipated expenses in personal services for 11-12. The estimated cost of the restoration is about $4 million to the general fund. That's just the general fund portion of that. But again, this is just a reallocation of personal services budget from one area in benefits to the other area in compensation to the employees. Last thing we just want to discuss with you this morning is Arizona State Retirement System did change their employee contribution formula effective July 1st, 2011. This was an impact to our employees here in the city of Mesa. The contribution formula before that was a 50-50 contribution. So 50% of the required contribution was paid by the employee, and 50% was paid by the employer, by the city. That was changed to a 53-47 split. What that meant was that was an increased cost to our employees, and it was a decreased cost to the city. At the time, we took that savings that we anticipated from that change, we budgeted into the benefit area to hold it so that we could reinvest it to our employees. At this time, we're still planning on doing that, taking that. It was about $453,000 was the general fund portion of that savings. We're still looking at taking that and reinvesting that in our employees. We're currently looking at some employee wellness programs, and we'll be coming to you later with some possible options for that money there. And that's really what we're coming to you today, is really to discuss what we'd like to do and our recommendation for January and where we'd like to go with our benefit savings that we discussed in September.
Thank you. This kind of change, this is only on the agenda for discussion, and I don't know what kind of formal action will be required. Boy, I can't see you over there. Either you're sitting in a different place or something like that. What kind of formal action, since there is no increase in the budget, it's right. Merely a category change,
right.
No. What kind of action would be required by the council?
Clearly, in the time that we actually did the reduction, we just, in a discussion like this, sought direction from the council to move in that direction. There are, with a few of the charter positions, as well as with the council, we would actually have to bring back, for those individuals, a specific contract amendments. To adjust those, but really for the rest of the city employees, it is the direction of the council, then we would just move forward in January by making that adjustment from our benefits line item into the compensation item and restore back the 2% for all employees.
Okay. All right. Any questions? Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you, Mayor. Do you want to explain all that again?
Sure. I don't really know what you're doing. I'm sorry.
Back in September.
More coffee is required. That's all.
Okay. Let me go back to the first slide. Back in September, we came to you to talk about our medical rates for insurance plans. And what we have looked at, when we looked at our expenses that we're going to have over the the medical is based on a calendar year. So when we look at the 2012 calendar year, our anticipated expenses in the medical plans were going to be less than what we had anticipated.
Less than what we had budgeted.
Correct. So we had budgeted for an increase.
Well, you budgeted it because you anticipated it.
Well, I know, correct. But I'm just.
Okay.
So know that it's, but our whole allocation within our city, within the city, the budget was based on this assumption of this number.
Okay. Correct. You budgeted X, the actual number is coming in at Y, which are lower than what X was.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
And that was based, so what that did is that, our anticipated savings for the fiscal year 11-12 is $4.9 million to the general fund.
Okay. So in other words, we're going to spend less, $4.9 million less than we thought we were going to spend.
And $4.9 less than we budgeted.
Okay. Well, because the budget was what we thought we were going to spend.
Exactly.
Okay. Let me interrupt just for a second since I asked the question.
Go right ahead.
Was that like what did you just say? 4.9 that you anticipated forever coming in?
Correct.
I mean,
that was an ongoing, correct?
It was built into the base. Yes, thank you, Councilman Mayor. Council, that's a very good question. We are proposing the 2%, which, as you would recognize, would be built into the base pay, which would be ongoing, as well as, and so when we made the assumption of the benefits cost, we assumed also at the time of the budget that was built into the base of cost for employees. So it is a recurring savings that's going to a recurring expense. So those do match up. We're not taking one-time dollars to correct. Pay for this. So that's that. Thank you for bringing that up. It's a very good point.
The 4.9 million isn't forever. That's just this year's portion. But we anticipate that next year it's going to be a savings also, and the next year it's going to be
correct.
Less than what
but
we had
the health
anticipated.
Benefits line, it was built into the base costs that would continue from year to year.
Yeah. We get it.
We're recommending to use ongoing savings in our general fund to reallocate to ongoing expenses.
That was a good explanation. I like that. Thank you. Now, are those anticipated ongoing savings or budgeted ongoing savings?
They're both.
Oh, okay. I want to make sure we're clear on that.
Right. So what that does, Mayor and Councilmember Higgins, is that that would go implement in January. What we're recommending that in January we would actually restore the 2% pay reduction that we did back in January of 2009. Mm-hmm. To bring employees back up to where they were in 2009.
But once again, just to reiterate, this is not an increase in the overall city budget. This is merely a shifting.
That is correct.
It's savings in one area that are shifted to another area. And what we decided is if we could squeeze out through all the savings in the medical contribution, hopefully we can then, and that's maintaining the same benefits. There hasn't been no decrease in benefits. Those are just flat out.
Maintain the same benefits, the same medical plans. Everything is staying the same on that respect.
Those are finding better ways to provide those services, cheaper, less expensive ways.
Streamlining, more efficient.
Streamlining, those kind of things. So we squeezed those savings out so we could apply those to the base pay of the employees, which we had reduced almost 3 years ago.
Correct, three years ago. Correct.
Okay.
So at the end of the year for 11-12, we will not have any more budget or expense within the personal services category than we adopted for 11-12. It's just merely a line item going from your benefits for the city spending the money on the benefits for the employees to the city spending the money on the compensation for the employees.
Okay.
Great.
Councilman Finter.
If I can offer a different point of view, I'll put on my headgear, teeth guard, and look at this situation. I hope it comes across as kindly as I intended to come across. And just to preface, what I'm going to say is I have the opportunity every day to visit with city employees in different functions. I had the opportunity to ride last night with the gang unit at the police department. A lot of great service is occurring here in the community. A lot of wonderful folks working hard to make sure that we have a great city. What I worry about when I saw this originally is that I don't think it's going to be well received in the community, because my take, at least from my district and talking with business folks and others, is things are still really bad out there in the community. And I think there's going to be some blowback about, taking on this endeavor. That doesn't lessen what I think that I know the city employees are going through, and I hear a little quick rendition of where we've been and the cuts we've had to do and the changes in service, and it doesn't lessen that at all. My personal approach in life has always been cautious. It actually has served me pretty well, looking at what we've gone through in my personal life and business and other things these last few years. I'm still a survivor, but that came from being very cautious in how I do things. And so I would offer a cautious approach, and I wouldn't recommend that we do it at this time. But a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to visit with you and others, and I offered some alternatives that I think would probably be a little bit more palatable, although pretty difficult to try and figure out how it all works. And one of those was to try and figure out a way to keep the savings in the benefits area, because there is a factor in this that I don't know, I haven't heard it discussed here, is retirees are 42%, or what's the percentage of retirees to?
They're just under half.
Just a little under half. And so these savings, and I think we're not celebrating enough to look at the change in behavior by the...
And I'm sorry, I misspoke. They are half of the... There's twice as many actives. Right. Active employees,
okay.
As there are employees, and I'm sorry, I misspoke.
Thank you for clarifying.
They're one-third.
About one-third.
Okay. And so, yeah, that's a little different than I'd heard. But a significant part of the good things that have been happening in the benefits, and it's a point, points to be celebrated, are, the restructuring, the change in behavior by the employees and usage, change in the choice of plans to the benefit of the city and to others. And so there's been a lot of great efforts that's occurred in the benefits that give us the savings. And so I'll be quick to tell anybody that I talk to that,
efficiencies and good service and choices have made a difference there. But when we look at taking all of those savings and going to the active employee, you know, that's currently employed, doesn't take into full effect the group of retirees that do have an effect positively. And I don't really have a solution yet, but that's one of the problems I see. Another suggestion or an alternative that I've made is looking at the STEP program or the Merit Increase Pay program. That program, in my perception, is a cost-saving employment practice that I think is a great thing that the City of Mesa does. We hire folks at the very basic level of compensation, and over years and period of time, they prove their proficiency. They're actively evaluated every year. They gain experience, and as they do, they receive additional compensation. And so that's a great program. I think personally I would like to look at that, even though I realize there's a disparity. It doesn't address everybody's concerns when you talk about the whole. My priority would be looking at those. So I've offered those alternatives. I see they didn't quite make it into the presentation, but I'm sure you anticipated I was going to bring them up. And so I just wouldn't do it at this time. Doesn't mean that I don't appreciate at the highest level all the service that's provided. I don't think it reflects what's going on in the private sector as far as return of compensation and other things happening. And so just wanted to offer that different point of view.
And now just and a couple of points on that. And we have looked at those. And when we did the medical savings, and we calculated that we did have some savings in the benefit area, and what could we do to reinvest that back in the employees, we did look at a few different alternatives, and those were a couple of the alternatives that we looked at. One comment on the medical, for the retirees and the active employees, those two groups of employees are separated in our medical retirement plans. And so each one of those is self-sufficient. So the contributions from the city and the employee on the retiree side cover all of the expenses, as well as the contribution from the employees and the city on the active cover all of their expenses. So it's one thing that we're very careful to make sure that the actives are not subsidizing the retirees, the retirees are not subsidizing the actives. So the plan savings is actually from the benefit trust in whole. So the contribution on the city side toward either of those plans is where our savings is from. So I just want to make sure that we are distinct between our retirees and our active employees and making sure that they're covering all their costs.
And I get the covering the costs, but some of the savings, a major part of the savings, is from the pharmacy medicine type of
Correct.
Approach,
Correct.
Which affects both,
Correct.
And you know the increased deductibles that affect both, and so it's a little more global. You know, I hear what you're saying; they're separate, but savings and reductions are global to both sides.
They are global to both. So I just want to make sure that we do have that separation. Make sure that's clear. That we are separating retirees from active, so we do not have any subsidizing between the two groups for those. We've done that. And the one thing that we didn't see on people moving their plans, which we had hoped people would come out of the more expensive plans, go into the lower plans, we saw a lot more movement on the active employee side than on the retiree side. Now, we're hoping to see a little bit more on the retiree side this year go through open enrollment, which is finishing out this week.
Right.
And we'll take a look at that, and maybe we'll have some additional savings next year on the retiree side as people start realigning with those plans.
I see.
And also on the merit or STEP program, we did take a look at that, and we calculated what that cost would be to that. For those that are eligible as of the 11-12 fiscal year, about 42% of our employees would be eligible for a STEP or merit program if we were to institute that. So 42% of our total population.
Do you have two questions? First of all, City of Mesa doesn't run a retirement program. We participate in the Arizona State Retirement System or the Public Safety Retirement
System. We're talking about the medical.
No,
retirement?
I know, but I'm.
Okay.
Well, let me finish my question.
Oh, okay.
We don't run a retirement program. Over the last 3 years, so the reason I set that up is that since we don't administer it or run it, you may not know the answer to this. Over the last 3 years, have retirees in either one of those programs received a reduction in benefits?
That I'm not aware of. But they should not, and in their pension benefits, it should be, it's a defined payout.
No. Right.
No, they
should
not.
Yeah, I was asking a question I already knew the answer to, but that's okay. They have not. Did they get any cost of living or any other kind of adjustments during those 3 years?
No, sir.
Okay. So for the last 3 years, retirees have received a steady benefit. It may not have gone up, but it didn't go down, right? Okay. That's what I wanted to say. Well, so they haven't had a decrease like current employees did. I'm just trying to differentiate because I think you got to look at not only the medical benefits, you got to look at what have the total benefits to both groups been looked at too.
Well, Mayor, the only counterpoint that I would make to that is they have experienced increases in premiums, deductibles for medicine, other things. So, which all employees
correct.
Have.
As the actives have. So
well, all employees had it, but current employees also had a 2% cut correct. And had their step pay frozen. Next question I have is, have we calculated the amount of foregone step pay, what the cost to the city to restore that? We have employees that had the great fortune of starting with the city, let's say right at the time we froze step pay.
Correct.
Which means that, you know, taking into account what Councilmember Finter said, where our compensation program is based on what I would define, for lack of a better term, as somewhat of a quasi-apprenticeship. We start, we have step pays in early years, and the reason we do is because the learning curve is much greater, and therefore a new employee is going to learn much faster and his or her production and give back to the city is much greater. That's why one of the reasons why we have a compensation program that has step pay in the early years to sort of keep those in sync. Those employees for the last 3 years, although they've been learning and increasing production, have not had an increase. And so I would think that in some ways they have borne a disproportionate burden of our change to the compensation program, because they've foregone pays that were normally considered increases that were normally considered in our overall compensation program. Does that make any sense at all? Mm-hmm. Councilor Higgins, does that make sense?
Very.
Thank you. Almost. I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
It does, although those who were hired after we had suspended the program should have been notified, though.
Well, I know they were notified, but I mean, they still came into
3 years. They have not received.
They still came into a compensation program. I'm not saying it's. I'm not making a judgment on this. This is just the fact. Yeah. Our compensation program and how we compensate employees, which is no different than industry and whatever, is we get people who come in and then we program step pays in the early years because we assume that their productivity increases at a higher rate than those who have been here a while, and they've sort of, and that's not, once again, not a judgment, it's just the way we compensate.
Correct.
So if someone's been working with the city for 2.5-3 years, they've done their part, but they've, in my mind, have taken an added burden because they have not been in the normal system.
Correct.
Okay?
They've not received an increase over those.
That's right.
Years.
All right. So the question I have is, have we compensated what the amount would be to maybe take those that for 2.5-3 years have foregone all step pay and maybe get them up to where they might have been? I just want to know the cost so I can put it in perspective.
It would be a compounding factor, but roughly it's going to be $12 to $16 million,
okay,
assuming the same pool of employees.
Okay, that's what I want to know. And at last I looked at, 12 to 16 is greater than 4.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and just to counter, since I threw on the headgear here, I never suggested that we bring them to full, you know, equality in the process. I'm just saying start it, because using the mayor's line of logic, by not doing this, it continues to compound. It continues to get worse for that group. And the overlay I would suggest we ought to look at, and boy, this is going to be rough, is longevity pay for those that at the higher ends that are topped out may experience longevity pay, and others, it just gets worse and worse when you look at the picture. So that's why, I mean, I didn't just haphazardly suggest that, hey, you know, merit pay or merit pay. I like that word better, because actually they do have to prove a proficiency and, you know, experience demonstrated. And so I would say that when you put a couple of overlays on that, it's really not as crazy an idea to look at merit pay as it is to look globally at the 2%. So thanks.
And I wasn't actually suggesting anything. I just want the data out on the table. I want to know what the
right.
what the bite is, because there's no doubt that our, you know, just like, once again, we live in the world, and our employees have been dealt
what the world has given us, which is we've had limited resources. They've done their part to contribute through reduced pay, through foregone increases that normally would have been programmed, and step pay are program pay. I mean, that's really what it is. And I'm not saying that negatively. I think, once again, that's how our compensation program has been devised and set up for decades, is that we have that in there. And that has been frozen. And so the idea is that how do we adjust? And sometimes adjusting back to what might be considered normal is more difficult than taking the cut in the first place, because we're trying to figure out how to ease back into this program. And it's really hard to ease back into something that's really almost a black or white. I mean, you know, how do you recover that which you've been given up? In many ways, it's tough to do that. So that's why I wanted the data to find out. Okay, we have Vice Mayor.
This has gone around a couple different directions already. First, Candace, slide 3. And I think you don't do yourself enough justice on this particular slide, nor the city for that matter, or Mr. Brady. This is an important slide to take a look at because it tells us where we are financially. Mm-hmm. This city, thanks to your efforts, Mr. Brady, the mayor and the council, this city's year, and we're on budget. We have a balanced budget, and we're on budget because of these folks, and also thanks to our employees who worked cooperatively and collaboratively with management to find a way to balance our budget so we can continue to provide high-quality services to our citizens. We found innovative ways, innovative approaches to providing services, from the Express Library to grants that have provided road construction and fire station construction and innovative policing services to reduce call volumes, to the TRV program of the fire department to add efficiency to emergency response. These are big deals. And this black and white slide, first of all, there's 7 slides, and I really appreciate that. but this slide doesn't do justice to what this city has done, which we wish every level of government could do this exact same thing. But for some reason, they just can't seem to do it. Your city government in Mesa is being run pretty well in what has been some very, very difficult times. That said, we have been able, in what we're talking about today in compensation, our employees, and the mayor hit it, and I think Alex hit some important points too, our employees have, there really 3 things have happened to employees to help balance the budget, their contributions to this, setting aside the layoffs. One, you've been paying more for your benefits. As everybody has in the private sector as well. So health insurance and all the related benefits have gone up. You've taken a 2% pay cut across the board, and our new employees, our newer employees, have been frozen on their step increases, and I disagree. I think it is programmatic step for good reason. The mayor hit the right point. Is the issue that I'm having with this is in returning the 2% is the 2% to me is it balances the budget. Everybody holds some of that burden. Freezing the merit, freezing the step. I'm going to get that right. Freezing the step. It's disproportionate to the people who are actually providing the service and the boots on the ground. It's the person who is out in front of my house this week laying that dang black asphalt that is now on my car. But I appreciate the new road in the street and doing the shoveling. Oh, and Dan sitting in the front. It's his employee who is doing that with the shovel and that. It's the person in the ditch who is replacing the sewer line. It is the cop on the beat who's knocking on the front door to the domestic violence. Those are the ones who haven't had a merit increase. If we do the 2%, they'll get that. Mm-hmm. And we can't make them whole. We can't bring them all the way up. But maybe giving them the next step up is something that we could do, or maybe some kind of a blended, a step up, and let's see what's left over. To try to shorten this a little bit, I would like to see what some of our options are. What does it look like with one step? What does it look like if we do a step and maybe 0.25% within that $4.9 million budget. We don't. You have that?
I do. And to accommodate the step increase of the 42% who would be eligible this year would be the $3.6 million to the general fund.
So one step?
For one step. To
is 3.6. So that's...
That would be an annual amount.
That's $1.3 million left over out of that amount.
Correct.
Okay.
And these are annual figures. So when we look at an annual dollar amount, you're looking at... Because... And the STEP program would lead us into other issues. When do we start the STEP program and so forth? We have looked at some of those topics. We've looked at some of the options that we have on that. And I would foresee that we would continue to look at those over the 12-13 budget process as well. We don't see this as a one-time look at compensation. This is a one-time, what can we do within this fiscal year for our employees to reinvest in our employees, knowing that we have the medical contribution savings. What can we do during the 11-12 fiscal year that does not keep us from continuing to look at these issues and coming up with situations and possibilities as part of the 12-13 budget process?
I would be interested in seeing what taking the net, with adding the step, we still have that $1.3 million, what we could do with that $1.3 million that would apply to everybody potentially as an alternative to the returning the 2%. That'll be enough.
If you look at it, 1% is about $2 million to the general fund. So every 1% change in compensation citywide is a $2 million increase in your general fund expenses.
So half a percent is
1 million.
Correct. We could do a step and a half a percent. A step for folks who are eligible and a half a percent across the board would get us 4.6 million.
If you're looking at rough numbers, yes.
Rough numbers. Okay, so that's an option.
This is kind of a benefits question, but you probably know this. How does the state retirement program, you know, at any time, can't they say, oh, geez, City Mesa, we're running a little short, so we're going to kick up your contribution? I'm pretty sure Mr. Manning explained how that worked to me once. But
that would be, you're talking about the pension, though.
Yes, well, that's how long it took to get to my question.
Okay, so Arizona State Retirement System pension, those are reviewed each year,
mm-hmm.
and the contribution is set. And then right now it's based on the formula, the 4753 formula for the share of that, but it's reviewed each year. So, yes, it does go up, and it has gone up over the last
So do we, like, anticipate, I mean, do, like, we have somebody that's watching the market saying, geez, you know, state retirement funds get a little scary, so we're going to make sure we have enough when we think they're going to be bumping up? Because
we actually do forecast that. It's okay. Included in our eight-year forecast that we do. We forecast the Arizona State Retirement System contribution as well as the public safety personnel retirement system as well. So those are forecasted out. We work closely with the state, with both retirement systems. They're really giving us their ideas on how they're going to go up in the future. And so we actually have forecasted that is included in our base. It's included in our ongoing expenses by year, an increase in those.
And once again, just so there's no misunderstanding, the state does not run a retirement plan for Mesa employees. Mesa employees participate in a statewide plan.
Correct.
So we're throwing in with everybody, but Phoenix and Tucson run their own? Phoenix and Tucson run their own plans, but all the employees at Chandler and Glendale and Fredonia and everybody participate in the same retirement plan the City of Mesa employees do, as on the public safety side, as do the police and firefighters for all those different cities participate in the same plan that our police and firefighters do.
Correct. And as the contributions go up, that's the contribution goes up for the employees as well.
And we basically have no control over what we get billed every year. It's a combination of their projections and their retirees and also the fund performance.
Yes.
And we know that in certainly on the public safety, there were some issues with fund performance that they took three years ago there was a big somewhat controversial issue which nobody had any control of, but the plan took a big dive based on its investment portfolio, and so that all affects or impacts what the check that the city cuts every year.
Right. And Mayor, we've been working with the public safety retirement system in the forecast, and there's a three-year plan to get their funding levels up.
Okay, good.
So,
all right.
Okay, to continue. Also, the question, has our budget fully realized the changes in the federal requirements for health care? you know, when we, a couple of years, when we had a bump to include 26-year-olds, are we all up to speed? I mean, are all those changes from the federal government, are they all affected today in our budget? Have we, or are there still something on the horizon that kicks in next year that we haven't thought about? Not that we haven't thought about, that we haven't actually put in the budget yet.
Yeah, Councilmember Higgins, the federal health care plan is set to go implement in stages.
Okay.
So this year we did realize that 26-year-olds would be eligible to participate in the plan. That was a bit of an unknown quantity for a while, but we have been watching the trends on that. And although the increase in costs have been somewhat as anticipated, not quite as much as what we had feared. So that is included in there. Now, 2014 is when the health care plan fully becomes implemented. And there are some additional provisions in there, but we don't anticipate the budget impact is going to be much greater than what we're sensing now.
Okay.
It was the addition of the 26-year-olds to the plan that we were watching very carefully because we didn't know what kind of increases that would generate for us. And arguably, there has been an increase as a result of having more of those dependents added to the plan. But the increase is, fortunately, if you looked at the trend line, not quite as much as we had feared, but certainly more of an increase than what we had had before. But that has been figured into those budget estimates.
Great. And then the last question that's on the list, have we looked at about splitting what it would be to do like a 1% across the board to get everybody's back, and then just the leftover money change the step to, if it's a 2% step, then it becomes a 1% step. If it's a 2.5, it's a 1.25, so that all the employees that were affected at least get some of their money back that we took from them.
So hold on, Mayor, before you answer this question, Mayor and Councilmember, will some please explain to the council our pay ranges and how steps happen, that we, the way it's built and the 5% increments between each step?
Yeah.
One thing council needs to recognize is the way the plan works in Mesa, there is a pay range. And within the range, there are
seven
steps, and they are separated by the 5%. So you don't, it's not an open range. You're at one of those steps. And what we've done with the 2% is we've lowered the entire pay range across the board by 2%. So that affects not only the current employees, but also impacts where we recruit at. So effectively, we're 2% below what we offer for new employees coming in, as well as you top out 2% sooner. But talk a little bit more about how that range is set up.
Right now, the primary pay plan that we have is called the regular pay plan. It's geared between grades and steps. So we have grade 26 through 56. Within each one of those grades, there are seven steps. Each one of those steps is separated by 5%. So what we did in January of 2009 is we just simply took that whole pay plan from the minimum to the maximum range, and we reduced that by 2%, thereby impacting everybody. The recommendation then is to take that 2% that was reduced in 2009 and increase the minimum and maximum range again by that 2%. Now, taking the step plan program, as the pay plan at least is currently structured, would then require those that are eligible for a step, those are incremented by a 5%. So what would have to be budgeted is all eligible employees then would receive that 5% increase. Everybody else could receive a bit of an increase if we adjust the pay plan one way or another, but adjusting the steps themselves would be difficult without throwing the pay plan out entirely.
And if I might add one complexity to this, the reason that 5% is because of our old system that we're replacing with CityEdge is limited. It's hard-coded in our financial system. It would require recoding the financial system to change from that 5% situation.
You can't just do it. She's smart.
We're running out of people to be able to do that.
And the new system.
Right, the new system.
New system could do that.
This is just so now I know how the NBA owners and players feel. What to do with all this extra.
So, and Mayor and Council, let me just kind of, you know, at the end of the day, and Candace said this, our goal is to get back to, we want to be able to compensate our employees fairly. We want them to be competitive with the market out there. We are starting to see competition We are starting to see other cities starting to call our employees, and they are being a little more attractive in what they can offer. We do feel like, and it's a tough call, one of the reasons we fell to the 2% is we've talked across the board to the employees, the department directors, is it allows for us where we explicitly took an action in the organization to reduce across the board for 2% with a specific action that we recognize that saved positions that we otherwise would have had to cut. The dollars were real. They were existing in the budget at the time. They weren't dollars that we were anticipating putting in the budget in the future for other merit pay or step pay. What we would like to do, obviously, if we could sit here today and do both, we'd love to be able to do that. I think what the 2% allows us to do is it allows us, from a morale standpoint, since we took it away from everyone, is to restore it back to everyone. It allows us to bring our minimum salaries back up so we can compete a little bit higher range with salaries. It also allows employees who are topped out, but maybe getting close within those next 3 years of retirement, to have that little bump to be calculated in their pension retirement calculation. I understand it's important to recognize employees that have just gotten here, but certainly if an employee just started work in the last 2 years, the fact that they would get merit pay and someone who's been here for 10 or 15 years wouldn't get anything makes it kind of difficult, because I think we really sold this as a sacrifice of all for all employees to move forward. Now, we can go either way, the direction of council. That's just that's where
we
are.
We have a couple more questions from Council Member. We're not ready yet to go. Let's get to those questions and then we'll come back. That's okay. We'll loop back to where you are because I think you raised great points. Council Member Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. I agree with the Vice Mayor. I think we need to look at a blended approach because it provides the greatest equity at this point for both classes of employees, the entire group of employees, as well as the newer employees that we have. Now, I understand this is going to be an ongoing discussion as we prepare for the 12-13 budget over the next 5 or 6 months as well, and it's going to be, I think, a key part of how we look at treating employees, but my preference would be to find a way to take the $4.9 million in the general fund savings and create a blend, because I think it is important to restore some percentage of the 2% cut to all employees who have worked very hard continuing with the city. And on the other hand, though, I think there's a strong equity issue for the newer employees that we have as well. So that would be my preference in terms of direction to go to. I know it's not easy to do, but I know you can do it. And it's going to be, if we're going to be continuing to talk about this issue of restoring step and percentage for the 12-13 budget, you have to do it at some point. So that's at least the direction I would hope the majority of the council would provide this morning. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Kavanaugh. Councilman Richens.
I get quite often comments from constituents saying that, the city always cries that they don't have money, and yet they still deliver great services, and I just usually reply, thank you very much, because our employees across the board are pretty amazing, and they do pretty good work. I really struggle with any solution that doesn't restore the 2% to all employees. I don't understand how we could even think about not doing that as our first approach. It just it boggles my mind right now. I feel like my hands are tied a little bit in the step situation by the MOUs that we've negotiated with the employee groups. We've negotiated those pay processes. My hands feel tied by those. There's not a lot I can do in there, but I know I could do something here in the 2%. I think the employees have worked hard. I think they've earned it. I think they deserve it. And I think it's high time that we return pay levels back to that percentage, and I can't support a blended approach. And when we do the MOU negotiations with the employee groups that talk about step pay and all that stuff, we can have that discussion then. But I don't know how we can open up that discussion now when we just approved one. So unless that's contained in the scope of that MOU discussion, perhaps. But 2% first, and then anything else beyond that, we can have a discussion about. Thanks.
Thank you. To me, this is one of those questions that's vexing, because I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer, because what's absolutely right for one person is going to be what other person, because they're going to personalize it to their own situation. You'd expect them to do that, and groups are the same way. You know, everyone is in a little bit different position, whether they're a new employee, whether they're just ready to retire, whether they are retired. And the problem is we don't have enough resources to satisfy all the needs. I guess we could try to split the baby, and I don't think we're going to make anyone happy. I think we're going to achieve shortchanging everybody, and that's just the position we're in. Now, I'd like to put in perspective, which I believe the Vice Mayor did, that we're operating in a budget. We've made significant decisions, and we're operating in a budget that's, what, 15%+ lower than it was when we started this process. And in real dollars, that's like $50 million+ a year. That's a significant reduction in the burden to the taxpayers of Mesa that has been borne by a lot of people. And since personnel is the number one expense in this city, that means that our personnel, our employees, have borne that burden. We do have a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, because the economy is, at least as far as our revenue projections are, they're not in a free fall like they used to be. They've stabilized. That doesn't mean the economy is all better and all healed. It's just that from our relative standpoint, we're not scrambling for ways to cover ongoing or increasing shortfalls. And that's good. I hope that continues, and I hope we have a problem where we're trying to figure out how to deal with all this new tax revenue that's come in. We're not there yet. We're partially there. We've created some things, I believe, not to cover a shortfall, but to create other opportunities. As we looked at our medical benefits and we created this nearly $5 million in savings, the idea is that we would reinvest it. I don't know that I'm in a position to sit here and make a policy that's going to answer that question for everyone. And this one, I sort of have to take the lead of you who are in charge of directly managing our employees. If this is the right call, I think you're hopefully more in tune than maybe I am. So I tend to trust that you've gone through all the different scenarios that have been raised today, because I think they're all valid scenarios. I could make a good argument for everything that's been suggested, and I don't think anyone could really argue against it any more than they could any other scenario. I think it's that difficult of an issue. But in a lot of ways, I'm going to put trust in you, and I tend to follow what Councilmember Richens says, is that this council has said for a long time that our number one priority is restoring that which had been taken away. I get it that may mean different things to different people, but I always assumed that was the 2%, first off. I'm not sure, and the Vice Mayor and I have been sort of having a sidebar conversation here. I don't know whether we're ready to give formal direction today. Vice Mayor, you still want to chime in on that? Or
I would like to have a little bit more time to take a look at it and see what the options are, but if there is enough support on the council, then it's up to you, Mayor.
You want to move ahead, or I think there's enough differences. You want to give it a time to maybe get some information back from management on some of the other issues?
I think it'll settle it in a lot of our minds if they bring the numbers back with the blended approaches that everybody took. That's fine. I just kind of digging my heels over this one.
Okay. Let's revisit this in a couple weeks. Try and get this thing. I think you've laid it on the table. I think we know what the nut is, what the challenge is. We also know what the resources that are available are. I think I need a little bit more time to digest that, and apparently the other council members do too. So thank you so very much. I mean, this is a great problem to have. This is a heck of a lot better than last year when we had to tell people we don't have it. It's good that we've created this, which is what I'm really grateful for the work of the staff to like actually create this opportunity. And I don't think we should echo what the Vice Mayor said. I don't think we should understate that these are created savings, and I thank you for that. Let's not get away from the fact that they are created savings. So we need to be a little bit judicious in how we allocate those. And
there's a lot of different opinions on how to do that. And like I said, they're all right and they're all wrong. Depends on your point of view. So when we come back in a couple weeks, thank you very much for it. Okay? Next item is the acknowledge receipt of minutes of various boards and committees. Have a motion from the Vice Mayor, a second from Councilmember Richens. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to report on a meeting that we had earlier this week at Fiesta Mall, presenting the recommendations for our consultants for the streetscape program, as well as our new Fiesta District substation. And we had well over 100 people attend the event with very good feedback from the residents in the area, the stakeholders, the property owners, and I appreciate all the work that our staff did and our consultants to get as much information available to the residents there as possible. It was a very positive meeting and an enjoyable process to go through and answer everyone's questions. And it was very gratifying that we really didn't get a single negative comment, which is kind of unusual at city meetings, but or community meetings. And so my thanks to all who were involved in putting it on. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Mayor?
Thank you, Mayor. Pardon me while I go through calendar here. That's brand new. First of all, I attended on Tuesday at the request of Council Member Finter, who unfortunately wasn't able to make it on his behalf, a citizen recognition event at Fire Station 206. The fire department recognized a number of citizen heroes who really were involved and made a big difference in the community. One was a construction worker who noticed the fire at a nursing home facility and ran into that building and assisted some very capable staff at that nursing home with evacuating some elderly patients, many of whom were not mobile on their own. I had the opportunity to speak to him a little bit, and he talked about the smoke banking down to the floor. What a terrifying situation that was. And I said, well, welcome to my world. But at least I have water when I go in. He didn't have anything. But they did a fantastic job there, a lot of lives saved in that situation. Another gentleman helped save a life of some folks who were trapped in a car, reached into that burning car and pulled some out, and did a fantastic job there. So it really drives home for everybody the importance of being prepared. And learning CPR or having a fire extinguisher or carrying your cell phone with you. And so hopefully everybody will take lesson from what those fine folks did, get involved in situations, and take a little time to learn life-saving measures. It's hopefully you'll never have to use it, but it's absolutely wonderful. I'll let you talk about the first production. Also attended the East Valley Aviation Aerospace Alliance pre-flight networking event with the mayor. Did a fantastic job. That was with Rock Arnett and his group, who is really helping to build aerospace in Mesa. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Richens.
Last Monday night, I had the opportunity of attending a upper division public policy class at Northern Arizona University that's taught right here in Mesa, which was pretty cool, and had a conversation about our city budget process and how all that works. So it was a great group of students. They were really sharp, had lots of great questions for us. But it was a real pleasure to go to our local NAU campus. Thanks.
Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Kavanaugh and I had the honor of attending a function at the White House, a nice little four-hour briefing on things that affect us in the city with the president's admin staff, Valerie Jarrett, Lisa Jackson, Ray LaHood, to name a few. It's very fun. And then we had the opportunity to walk up the back lawn of the White House and attend a nice little reception for, I don't know, how long were we there? Hour and a half? Where the president came out and, you know, he had the opportunity to shake my hand, so it was very nice. He wanted to know who I was. No, I introduced myself from Mesa, Arizona.
And I bet in a cabinet meeting right now, he's reporting on big things that happened to him. He's telling the same story.
Hey, you know, shook that councilwoman's hand from Mesa. But I just think it's very cool that, you know, that this Mesa City Council is involved on a national level with stuff, so that we're able to go to the White House and introduce ourselves as someone from Mesa, Arizona. I'm proud to be from Mesa, Arizona, and it's fun to be at those places and fun to represent. And we had a good time, didn't we, Councilmember Kavanaugh? Yes, it was very fun. And if you want to see pictures, they'll be up on Facebook later. Okay.
That it is. Okay. Several of us had the opportunity yesterday to attend, and I had the honor of participating in the Boeing Apache helicopter Block 3, which is the newest generation of Boeing helicopter. And it was pretty overwhelming, the event was. The sense of pride that that I felt, and I think everyone else did, at recognizing what incredible activity is happening just right here in a nice little corner of our city, and not only what it means to our community, but that it has national and international implications. There's 6-7 countries represented there at the event. It was pretty spectacular. We're proud of Boeing and they're almost at 30 years members of our community. And over 3 decades, they and their employees have been an important part of our community. So thank you for that. We also had an EVIT breakfast that some of us went to yesterday. I had to leave early, but we really appreciate EVIT and the role it plays. We now have 2 campuses of EVIT in our city. One, of course, there on Main Street near Dobson, the other one out in that was recently opened out at on Gateway campus next to ASU, and really appreciate the not only the role that EVIT plays, but the fact that it is such a shining light in our community, and it really is a point of pride for us in Mesa to have EVIT call Mesa home. And then there was City Hall at the Mall, and unfortunately, I think a lot of us were at a funeral at that time. But Mr. Brady, if someone could report on that.
Councilman Richards was there. I can do it.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm happy to. The funeral of Robert Britton on Saturday, and it as is the tradition in Mesa, at a lot of funerals that I went to, it was really a great celebration of life. Not a lot of tears, but a lot of laughter, and his children all paid tribute to Robert and the. It's just amazed. I'm continue to be amazed the more I hear about what he was involved in and what he's done for Mesa. I think he's really the epitome of building a better Mesa. So it was a great service. Well attended, about 1,000 people or so.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, anything else? All right, we have one request to speak on citizens for items present. That's not exactly items from citizens present, Mr. Brian Jeffries. And we do this, normally we'd have it during the budget time, Brian, but since this is a study session, we'll put you here. But I'm assuming you're discussing the financial stuff and things like that?
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay, then we'll feel free to, if we need to, talk back and forth, unlike most items for citizens present, because it was on the agenda.
Great.
Go ahead.
Mayor, Council, thank you for giving me a few minutes today. I wanted to come before you. First of all, thank you for even entertaining this discussion that you've had today about the compensation. I wear a lot of hats, as some of you know, and I've been able to look at the budgets and the situations of a lot of different cities and the way that they've dealt with this economic recession that we've been in. And looking back when we all entered this in 2009, the way that you all proactively got in front of this situation, the way that you made very difficult decisions then and continue to do so today, I think our city's done better than just about anyone out there. And it's thanks to your all's leadership that we're doing better. You've shrunk more government than a lot of people that run around saying they shrink government. And you've done so without severely impacting services. And you've done so and without having people like me in my role up here screaming at you for your decisions as well. And that bodes to the partnership that we have with the employees and your leadership on working together on these issues. Back in 2009, when the compensation issues really became to the forefront, and we took the pay cut and we stopped the STEP program, there was a deep philosophical divide between our views of that and the city manager's, frankly. And we've worked through that to a degree, and it's reared its head on multiple occasions. And we've struggled through that a little bit, frankly. This year was no different. We've had our differences in our views. But one thing that I think is important is there is a philosophical difference between us. And if you're looking at bringing back the 2%, I mean, you have to recognize that that brings the most to those who have the most in this organization. And I'm one of them, by the way, and everybody on my executive board leadership are them. And however, we all recall when we were young firefighters coming up through the ranks, struggling to pay the bills and working extra jobs, anything we could as we went through those step raises. And back in 09 and today and always, we are strong supporters of that program. And it's even more important today because we brought to you as employees solutions to save money. Those monies then get allocated to other places as opposed to giving some type of compliment to us bringing such things. One example would be the lateral transfer program. We enticed people from other organizations to come here. We saved money by doing so. Less training. We didn't pay for their paramedics. We didn't pay for any of those things. And they came into an organization. And they came in at the bottom of the rung. These are highly experienced people. These are people that came here already as firefighters with their training. And so we'd like to move forward in doing that and continuing that in the future because it's good for the organization. It saves us money. But we don't want to bring them into an organization that doesn't recognize their marketability in the marketplace. And we want to make sure that they're compensated fairly. And so I appreciate the conversation today about the potential for maybe some type of blended system if the monies are returned, because that's really, really important to us. We, you know, the upper echelon of this organization gets the most by bringing the 2% back and not recognizing the STEP program. We would rather more emphasis be played on the STEP program because that's the future of this organization. Those are the people that be running this place when I'm gone and all of us here are gone. And we want them to feel good about this organization. And one thing that we have to remember as well, those employees right now have zero idea how they're going to pay for their health care in retirement. That discussion has not returned here yet. That was eviscerated, it was cut, it was gone, and I still don't know how those folks are going to deal with retirement. It's a long ways from now, but we have to start looking at those issues as well. But moving ahead, I wanted to make sure that I was here today to just plant these seeds and start this conversation. I know it's going to be a long budget cycle, as it always is. And Councilman Richens, you mentioned the meet and confer process, and we'll be, you know, entertaining that again as well. But sometimes the information flow between us, the employees, and you all goes through quite a few filters, and I wanted to be crystal clear here on record today that we absolutely support, as the firefighters that ride on fire trucks, a blended system that continues to support the STEP pay program so our lowest paid employees and some of the hardest working employees get a big part of what this money is going to be allocated for. And to further that, when we do get into meet and confer discussions later on after the beginning of the year, I think what's important is that maybe we maintain some flexibility in these discussions. Because really, it is, as the mayor brought up earlier, it's just money. And it's good that we have some reallocations because our folks in the benefits office have done such a good job in negotiating improvements in our benefits with reduced costs. But if you look at the numbers are almost identical. Return of steps for my group of the organization, 344 firefighters, is almost to the dollar of what it costs for for the 2%. So looking at a blended system and cutting those costs, you can do so without any further increase of cost. So I just want to bring that up today. I know you're just analyzing it. There's going to be a lot more discussion in the future. We'll be here for that. But I hope that in your deliberations, you'll consider our point of view and that a blended system is the way to go. Thanks.
Thank you, Ryan. Let me ask you one quick sort of technical question. Since we're under MOUs with both the police and firefighter, any change we make are those anticipated within the MOU? Would have to be amended. Okay. All right.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, we would certainly be open to doing like a reopener. If this is, because you guys are looking at doing this not on the fiscal year budget cycle,
right,
we could do a reopener, say, in January.
Well, we're going to need to do reopeners one way or another, else it's not going to be molded in. So I'm assuming you'd want to reopen it because if there's money available,
that's right,
that's where we'd want to figure out where it's going. Absolutely. And how it's going, and that would be part of the discussion.
Of course.
Councilman Richens.
Just another technical question. If we were to restore the 2% to everybody across the board, it would also apply to the firefighters and the police, right?
Well, Yes and no.
Would we have to?
It would be offered out, but once again, they're under MOUs, so you'd have to reopen the MOUs and integrate those in the MOUs.
Right, and remember the firefighters have still been receiving merit pay during this time. They gave up concessions for it. So what happens, that's a whole, it opens up a quite a complex conversation we'll have to have.
And correct me if I'm wrong. How it's going to happen is that if whatever we decide with both the firefighter and the police, that would be put on the table but would not be implemented without reopening the MOU and having a change in that.
Correct.
It can't be unilaterally implemented.
Yeah.
Okay.
I, Brian, I have great respect for you and your organization. You know that. I bristle a little bit when we talk about the upper echelons are the ones who benefit the most. I recently had some of the guys in our gas division working in front of my house, and they did a great job. They didn't know who I was for most of their work period. They finally got it figured out, and I heard it about 2%. I mean, that was the first place they went. You know, when are you going to give us our payback? And these guys aren't upper echelon anything. They're hard workers. They're man and shovels. I was really impressed with the integrity with which they went about their work. Mm-hmm. And those are the guys, these frontline people that aren't really upper echelon. What I would describe as upper echelon of the organization is maybe 5%, maybe 10% of the organization. But for the most part, it's people out there on the line, just like your guys are on the line every day, for whom I have great respect as well. So I just feel like it's the right thing to do to really stay focused on making sure that all of our employees get back what we promised them in the first place. And I mean, certainly police and fire are well deserving of the compensation that they earn. Thanks.
Okay,
we'll
talk. Yeah,
I was going to say, fire MOU has in there the 2% is restored, they do get it.
Oh, okay, so that's what I was asking. It's contemplated. So if we do the 2%, then it automatically goes in.
We put language in there anticipating the potentiality of this, which would say we don't have to reopen it if it comes in. But that's why I'm here today, is that if it does come back, our preference would be to just make the dollars available for negotiation.
And our preference, since we have a group and we have an MOU, even though it's in there, is I don't know that there's a unilateral action that would say you must take this. We'd talk to you first and say, is this really what you want?
Bingo.
And it's in there so that if we do it, there's nothing further need to be done from a technical standpoint with the MOU. But obviously, before we do anything, we're going to talk to you guys and see what your preference is.
What happened?
Go ahead.
What happened with the police MOU, because didn't we separate out the compensation portion of that?
I wasn't involved in the police one.
We'll just have to look at
it. So it's contemplated that we'd have to come back and amend
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah. Either way, we'll come back, even if we don't take, even if it's a technical issue, it's not going to be a unilateral action one way or another. We're going to talk to you guys and see what works, okay? All righty.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. If there's no other items, I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Kavanaugh, second Councilmember Richens.
Meetings?
I'm sorry, what?
Meetings?
Oh, excuse me. Here I completely ignored Mr. Brady.
I love a good adjournment.
I apologize, Mr. Brady. Speak on.
Just remind the council this, and really the entire community, this Saturday from 4 to 8 p.m. is a Getting Arizona Involved in Neighborhoods Gain event, so we're excited. A lot of neighborhoods are getting ready for their neighborhood watch programs and trying to get them to celebrate their work and get those maybe some of those re-energized. So we look forward to that. And our next study session will be Monday, November 7th at 5:15. Thank you.
That's it?
That's all I have. Do you want some more?
No.
That's all I have. Yeah, and the November 10th, because of NLC, will be postponed or canceled.
Okay. All right, so we have motion on the floor to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much.